You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And you are officially on the couch with Dr. Michelle. That's me. As you always are on Fridays at 11 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time here all over the world, wherever you're listening from, welcome. As always, I have a wonderful show for you today, along with a really fascinating guest. You're going to love this one, so don't go anywhere, folks. And by the way, if you want to call in and ask our guest anything you would like, the number here is 323-203-0815. Again, that's 323-203-0815. And that, by the way, is Los Angeles area code in the entertainment capital of the world here. And, of course, you can always contact me if you have questions or comments. You'd like to add an instant message. Just ask me a question about what's going on in the show or ask my guest anything. You can just go on to Doc Michelle. That's D-O-C Michelle with two L's. At AOL.com, DocMichelle at AOL.com. And let me ask you something, guys, out there. How would you like to harness the power of effortless creation? Sounds kind of interesting, doesn't it? We've talked about this before. You know I'm an advocate of manifestation. All you guys who've listened to me out there before, you know about that. Do you believe that each and every one of us has the potential to step into more meaningful, joyful, ease-filled creation in our lives? Do you guys really feel that you have the potential for complete abundance? Now, I get a lot of calls from people saying, oh, this is new agey talk. I don't, but you know what? Science is proving you wrong. It's the science of the mind. It is quantum physics, folks, and it's out there and it's happening, as you know. And my special guest today is going to tell us more about that and her lectures and how you can learn more about harnessing the power of effortless creation. Stacy Lawson's on the line. Hi, Stacy. How are you?
Good morning, Michelle. I'm fabulous. Thank you.
Oh, it's so nice to have you with us today. And let me just set this up so people can know all about you. You are an expert. You are an entrepreneur, transformative educator, speaker, writer, and you've had about 15 years of experience creating and facilitating cutting-edge programs on leadership, social entrepreneurship, organizational effectiveness, personal transformation. And by the way, if you guys really want to go on television, online, on YouTube, or on Stacy TV, on her website, she's the author, and also she's the on-camera person, of helping you out in your life. And we can talk more about that. By the way, Stacy, you've studied a lot. You've got over a decade of study with Hatha, Kundalini, Siddha Yoga, and you incorporate a lot of mystical, you know, and wisdom traditions into your workshops, which is wonderful. So you've been there and done that. You are a wonderful spokesperson, and I've been watching you on Stacy TV, and your messages are brilliant. They really are. They really are.
Well, thank you, Michelle. Thank you for the great shows that you do here, bringing folks like me on so we can share some of our messages and hopefully inspire people to step into their unique creative gifts and power. So I'm looking forward to talking about it with you today.
Oh, I so agree with you right now. And you're doing a workshop right now, and tomorrow is yet but another day in San Francisco to learn more about harnessing the power of effortless creation. And I want listeners to know that they can join online as well and hear your message, Or they can go ahead and go to San Francisco and have a wonderful time.
We'd love to see them here in San Francisco, but if they can't make it, then they can absolutely join for free our webcast online, which will be on Stacy TV.
Great.
So the workshop tomorrow is from 1 to 4.
Okay.
1 to 4:30 p.m., and they can go straight to stacytv.com.
Great.
And sign up and enter the webcast and join us from afar, wherever they are.
Super. And that's Stacy, S-T-A-C-E-Y, TV.com. All right, everybody, in that way. And it's 1 to 4:30 p.m., and that's Pacific Standard Time. If you're listening on the East Coast, plan to listen in a little later and enjoy what she's talking about here. Let's just get into the types of messages and teachings that you bring to your viewers on Stacy TV. And your latest seminar, of course, you're talking about harnessing the power. And your seminars, other media outlets. What are some of your messages that you're spreading here?
Well, we share that a belief that we're innately creative and powerful beings, mm-hmm. and that we all have the potential to shape our reality. So the mind and our thoughts are very important tools for interacting with the world around us.
Mm-hmm.
And by bringing more love and surrender and compassion for ourselves and others, we kind of blend into that blissful flow of energy in the universe to create a more abundant life. So our tagline on Stacy TV, for instance, is be happy, love more, and create a great life. And at a superficial level, that sounds fantastic. We can sort of get into some of the aspects of how do we actually cultivate that deeper compassion and acceptance of the human condition that we
yes.
all experience.
Yeah.
But also then sort of drop below that the sort of gross level of the mind into more subtle states so that we can actually co-create a reality that's more fluid, more abundant, more blissful, hopefully,
mm-hmm.
and something that we can really enjoy and also share with those around us.
Yeah. And, you know, that's lovely. We really are co-creators. I mean, so many speakers such as yourself and enlightened beings, you know, Wayne Dyer and, of course, Abraham and the Law of Attraction and so many people who have written on this, of course, Lynn McTaggart. We are co-creators because we are gifted with the ability to think and create. And in that, I believe, and I know you do too, that it's a matter of changing your vibration. It's a matter of changing your thought patterns and being consistent with those particular patterns.
Yeah, and all of the great mystical teachers and the various wisdom traditions have had an element of this in their teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, I and the Father are one.
Yes.
He was not actually saying, I co-create with the Father. He's saying, I and the Father are one. I am the Father. There's a divinity within me that is the same
That's right.
as the divinity of the universe. And the power of that is extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
So as we start to, I mean, I think there's kind of a case of mistaken identity.
Yes.
That the harshness of the world that we experience today and the challenges that, mm-hmm. that we see and face kind of are a masking or veiling principle. They mm-hmm. help us to forget,
yes.
if you will, how truly and deeply powerful we are.
Yes.
And so we start to become, in a sense, encrusted with that sort of identity and feeling of victimization or that the world is sort of acting upon us. But,
mm-hmm.
but truly underneath that is a divine essence. It, you know, our true nature is the source of all creative abundance in the universe.
Yes.
And if we can start to kind of unmask ourselves
yes.
and discover that identity that is innately within us, we actually start to step into more power and we see that we influence and we co-create, but we actually manifest from source
yes.
directly those experiences that we have in our lives, and we can be more attuned with the higher order frequencies and higher order experiences than lower ones if we become awake to that.
Yes, you know, I totally agree with that. And this is not just, again, this is not just positive thinking. You know, they have in psychological terms now, they have positive psychology, which, you know, I kind of go under the table with my colleagues and say, you know, it's about manifestation, guys. You know, it's not just positive thinking. It's the fact that we do have this ability within us. We are part of the source, and we do have this within us to co-create and manifest. And really, it's quantum physics. It's not, you know, and I have a lot of clients who come to me and they argue with me and they say, well, you have to be a religious person. No, no. This has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with reality. and, you know, who we are and what can be done. And all of, like you said, Stacy, too, all of the enlightened beings and this is what they know. This is what they knew and this is what they taught.
Well, and I think they were the earliest quantum physicists.
Yes.
So if you look at the yogis and the self-realized beings of various traditions, mm-hmm. they were actually the deep, deep inner scientists.
Mm-hmm.
They explored and discovered the same things our modern-day quantum physicists are discovering, but they did it within the realms of deep inner consciousness. So they had different language to describe it and perhaps a more mystical bent to cast it in.
Yes.
But what our quantum physics is telling us is mm-hmm. that at the most subtle level, at the level of the subatomic particle,
yes.
those particles are not actually things.
Yes.
They are vibrations. They
yes.
are packets of information or energy. And in fact, in string theory, mm-hmm. The string, which is the most fundamental unit, if you want to call it that,
mm-hmm.
is not actually a thing. It's a set of relationships.
Yes.
The particles are actually exchanging energy back and forth. They only exist for an instant.
Right.
And then they exchange their energy with another particle. And those vibrational exchanges are what we know as the string.
Mm-hmm.
So at that level of reality, things cease to be solid. They
mm-hmm.
cease to be three-dimensional.
Yes.
They actually are so subtle as to be simply relational exchanges of energy,
mm-hmm.
and that's the level at which we can take our mind. So when I share these things, I'm not actually talking about some New Age thing. I'm actually talking about the practice that the ancient yogis and now our quantum physicists
mm-hmm.
are
mm-hmm.
discovering, that the observer, i.e. ourself,
yes.
our consciousness, is the fundamental unit, building block or unit of both matter and mind.
Mm-hmm.
They're very deeply related, and if we take our mind to that subtle level, then we have the power to create matter.
Mm.
The observer affects the experiment, so we are the observer,
yes.
the scientist that will affect our own lives, and
mm-hmm.
we can use those same principles that science knows to create more abundance and more
yes.
Create experiences that are more aligned with what we'd truly like to experience.
Yes.
And less of the stuff we prefer not to do.
Right. It's so true. By the way, if you just tuned in on the couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest today, it's we're just talking about the harnessing the power of effortless creation. And my special guest is Stacy Lawson, entrepreneur, transformative educator, speaker, writer. She has 10 plus years of study and practice with Kundalini, Hatha, and Siddha Yoga, and incorporating lots of wisdom and traditions to really harnessing the power of that effortless creation, making your life better in all areas, if you so choose. And just like you were talking about, Stacy, it's really kind of up to us in terms of how, you know, change the way you think, and the way the world looks will change, of course, to you, and the way the world will come to you differently when you change the way you think and feel and elevate the vibration per se and change those thoughts. You know, you talk about the major shift that's taking place in the lives of millions of people around the world. What do you mean by that, Stacy?
Well, I think we're learning the truth of our own power, and unfortunately right now we're learning it a little bit the hard way in that the old model, our current structures, whether that be government, politics, financials, others are not really working very
mm-hmm.
well.
Yeah.
We have more technology, more money, education, opportunity than probably just about any generation in history, and yet we still face these daunting global challenges.
Yes.
So despite the benefits, amazing benefits of our modern society, many of us, I think, are seeing that this materialistic worldview,
mm-hmm.
thinking of matter as something out there,
yes.
is not leading fast enough to meaningful change. Like, there has to be a way where we can actually tap into a deeper knowing within us in
mm-hmm.
order to reach those changes at the pace we need to.
Yes.
And so we're asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
This transformation is one that's coming to some extent through pain and grappling with, how do we resolve some of these
right.
challenges? And, what I hear a lot of people saying is that they're just having a hard time closing the gap between their sense of their own untapped potential, the
yes.
gifts they have to offer,
yes.
the world they'd like to see, the
mm-hmm.
reality they'd like to experience,
right.
and what's actually going on in their everyday lives, in
exactly.
the lives of their family and friends and others.
Right.
And that's causing a bit of a dark night, if you will.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I really think in a certain way that humanity is also, you know, en masse is entering a bit of a collective dark night of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so this shift that I see is kind of like Joseph Campbell's work on the hero's journey. I don't know if you're familiar with him, where he
yes.
talked about this mythical
yes.
hero's journey and the very real stages we go through
mm-hmm.
in our evolutionary process, where we first start kind of asleep.
Mm-hmm.
We're touched in an ego, and then there's a little light that goes on and says, maybe there's something more here, and
yes.
the awakening starts to begin. And the third phase on that journey is actually the tough part, where I think we're kind of entering right now, which
mm-hmm.
is
mm-hmm.
the death of the false self.
Mm.
Where we actually have a bit of a crisis,
right.
and we have to step over a threshold where we are killed to our old ways and reborn in some new possibility. And that requires a bit of a heart breaking open to something new that is possible but has not yet totally revealed itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so what I see when I talk to people is that their hearts are breaking open.
Yes.
They're saying, wow, I need to be more authentic. I need
mm-hmm.
to actually...
Yes.
be courageous enough to step into giving these gifts that I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I need to find it within me, because if I don't do it, I can't expect everyone else to step in. And how are we going to get where we need to go?
Yes.
So,
yes.
So, and once we move through that threshold, then where we arrive is at a place which is a much more awakened service and surrendered existence,
mm-hmm.
where we
mm-hmm.
actually let go of these kind of false ego clingings and
yes.
the stuff we think we want.
Yes.
And we drop down into place where, what do we truly authentically desire?
Yes.
And how
yes.
can we bring that forth in a way that's more aligned with the creative flow, with source, or
mm-hmm.
The universe, or God, or however you think of it,
right.
where we're co-creating, or we're simply handing it over and doing it in service to that greater energy.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that shift is about understanding how powerful we truly are, but
mm-hmm.
not from our ego, you know, individualized
yes.
egoistic self who's
yes.
grasping for stuff.
Yes.
But truly by surrendering that part and stepping into this much bigger, more
yeah.
infinite potential that we have. And I see that
yeah.
we're somewhere along that journey.
Yeah.
Probably the painful part right now.
Right.
But nonetheless, that's the threshold, which is the key to something very new and beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. You know, when you talk about ego, Stacy, it's not the Freudian ego, and it's not like, oh, gee, you have a big ego because you're narcissistic. It's more the ego in keeping, I think, with the teachings of, I would say the Course in Miracles, that kind of thing, our ego needs. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, when I talk
mm-hmm.
about ego, I'm actually talking about simply the identification
mm-hmm.
with a certain story. Certain set of thoughts. So
mm-hmm.
your ego doesn't, many egos aren't grandiose. In fact, sometimes the roughest part of ego is the part that identifies with thoughts like, I'm not good enough.
Right.
Or I'm a failure. Or I'm helpless.
Yeah.
Or I'm in danger. You know, other people, like there's a fear story. So those fears, doubts, conflicts, all of that is ego, in the sense that we're identifying with a mistaken
mm-hmm.
perception of
yeah.
who we are
yeah.
that keeps us limited and small.
Yes.
And in order to release that, there's a bit of it's a pretty, you know, it's a process of having to let go of those cloaks that we've used to hide ourselves.
Yeah.
Like the clothes that no longer fit.
Right.
And that's part of the hero's journey. But yes, I don't mean ego in the sense of
mm-hmm.
grandiose. Or arrogance.
Right,
in fact,
right.
Most of us have egos that are exactly the opposite of that.
Yeah, it's true. It's really true. I mean, there's a lot of negative messages, you know, and in psychology, I work with people who have, you know, had negative messages growing up. Their parents weren't all that wonderful. Let's not blame the parents necessarily, but, you know, their environments were tough, and they really sort of bought into a lot of messages that you're not worthy, you're not good enough, you're unintelligent, you know, life is about struggle, and, you know, you have to go with this certain religious dogma or you're going to be a sinner. And, you know, there's a lot of fear and low self-esteem with a lot of clients I see. And I think your kind of teaching can really help people kind of lift up out. And this is, in my opinion, some of the best therapy that people can get by listening to your messages. And that's what I feel. But folks, if you want to check out Stacy, by the way, my special guest today, you can go on to stacytv.com, and that's STACEY TV.com. You can actually see Stacy and how lovely she is and really get a lot of her messages as well. And what we're talking about today particularly is, you know, she's got a seminar going on. It's free, by the way. So jump on this, people. You don't have to drive out to San Francisco.
The abundance is already flowing. It's free.
There you go. It's streaming, honey, right now. And it's harnessing the power of effortless creation. And it's also tomorrow, free seminar. Stacy's in San Francisco right now, and she's doing that. So let's keep moving on here. We'll get some questions if we can from people if they want to write in to docmichelle@AOL.com. I have instant messages here, and, you know, there are some questions that are coming up for you from listeners. But can you talk about our innate creative power, and why is that the key to unlocking our personal and collective potential, as you talk about?
So below this mistaken identity of ego,
yeah,
and our sensory perception that mm-hmm. has us believe that everything is externalized,
mm-hmm.
right? At the core of our being, we are essentially the generated, our own consciousness is the building blocks of reality.
Mm-hmm.
So if we believe that, then, or I shouldn't say believe, because we experience that. We should be scientists here in the sense of our own experience. There's nothing we need to believe in its own right if we cannot actually experience it too.
Mm-hmm.
That truth is something that can be the basis for changing our world situation. It gives us incredible amount of power.
Right.
And I was at a cocktail party the other night.
Yeah.
There was a friend of mine who is a classmate of mine at Harvard Business School, so mm-hmm. a very talented and professional person. And he
mm-hmm.
turned to me, and he knows the kind of work I do.
Yeah.
And he said, "Stacy, you know, something's wrong with the world. I just feel it."
Aww.
And I'm like, well, that's the sense that we're all
yes.
having.
But, yes,
but
yes.
It actually doesn't help us to think of it as something's wrong with the world.
Right.
There's actually, it's a bit disempowering.
Yes.
So this notion of stepping into our innate creative potential actually allows us to step into the power to hold something new.
Yes.
We have the innate capacity for more meaningful, more joyful, more ease-filled creation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And by tapping that within ourselves, we actually contribute to a world that has a sort of innate ecstasy and bliss to it, and
yes.
where we're generating, we're kind of stepping into more generative engagement with life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's through that, through
mm-hmm.
awakening compassion, love,
mm-hmm.
divine intelligence on a collective scale,
mm.
that we will find the pathway to the permanent solutions and healing
mm-hmm.
for our planet. So
yes.
understanding this innate creative power within us
mm-hmm.
will unlock new vistas for ourselves and for our world.
Yes.
So I think probably we should start talking about some of the aspects of that, like how do we do that?
Yes, exactly. Let's
where do we
that.
Start?
Exactly. And I think, you know, talking about your colleague again, and that's so cute, you know, I mean, the message to him would be maybe not focus constantly and tune into the media and how horrible this world is and people are evil, but not be in denial. Of course, it's going on around us and we can't really hide from it necessarily. And it may not be good to hide from it because it gives us it gives us information about how we can possibly, through a Zen-like situation, allow it to flow. But the question would be, how can I contribute within my own being to the goodness of the world instead of focusing on, oh, this is horrible and, you know, the world's gone to a hell in a handbasket, you know? So, you know, it's more like, how can I contribute to making this a better place possibly, right?
Well, and also understanding it's the
yes.
crucible for our own learning and awakening. I mean,
yes.
it actually, every, you know, this hero's journey, I'll harken back to it again.
Yep.
I mean, it requires a context through in which the hero
yes. Yes.
finds his power.
Yes.
It is actually an important element of the awakening process. So if
mm-hmm.
we hold it that way, that what we're seeing is, or what we're feeling is a collective
mm-hmm.
impulse to evolve to
yes.
a higher level of our own truth, of our
yeah.
own, you know, seeing our
mm-hmm.
our innate power. In fact, it's really stepping into our divinity. I mean,
yes.
I see people on your that are listening that aren't you know, don't know what they believe about God.
Right.
But if we believe that inside us is a deep, you know, deep, powerful spark that is part of the source of, mm-hmm. of all of creation, mm-hmm. and then tuning into that is sort of this path of the hero's journey, we'll see that the landscape is actually an important aspect of motivating us onto the journey. If we don't ever have the crisis of untruth, we'll not find our truth.
That's really so true. It is. you know, talking about accessing our authentic desire, and you were starting to talk about, what are some of the techniques that you do teach in order to help folks do this?
Sure. So one of the aspects of you know, how do we unlock this mystery?
Yes.
Is to start to give yourself permission to access a deeper, authentic desire than you may have known before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And authentic desire, I think, is one of the keys to empowered creation.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that many of us have some conflict internally, whether conscious or unconscious or subconscious, about desire and whether it's okay. you know, so many centuries ago, the Buddha warned that desire is actually the primary cause of all human suffering.
Right.
That our continuous craving after comfort or pleasure or mm-hmm. material possessions, whatever it may be,
mm-hmm.
can never be fully satisfied.
Right.
So we will inevitably suffer as long as we hold desire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually true. I mean, our ego, that part of it which identifies with an sort of the untrue story,
mm-hmm.
we'll be constantly mm-hmm. grasping after false and fleeting pleasures,
right.
which will cause us anguish. But we kind of need to move beyond this dilemma a little bit, because desire is actually the essential element for creation. So whether it's sexual desire to conceive a child, or social desire to save the rainforest, or simply the desire to be in community, you know, to be in relationship with one another.
Yes, yes.
We can't really create without desire.
Right.
So
right.
the part about authentic desire is moving beyond our judgment
mm-hmm.
and our declaration of something that being right or wrong, and actually stepping into the higher mind or the heart intelligence, which is imbued with a different kind of desire.
Mm-hmm.
This is innate within all of us.
Mm.
It's a pure, innocent, unpolluted, non-judgmental desire that stems from that oneness with the creative source within us. I mean, source creates the entire universe.
Mm-hmm.
Every aspect of reality that we see, the trees, the plants, the flowers, the people, the waters, the planets, the, you know, celestial objects, all of that is a manifestation of source.
Yes.
And it was manifested out of the pure ecstasy of the creative process.
Yes.
Just
yes.
simply being in love with what is and having something arise from that ecstasy.
Right.
And we feel that closest, quite frankly, when we're in an orgasmic or ecstatic or erotic state, that we lose all sense of ourselves.
Right.
And we just merge with this ecstatic energy of the universe.
Yes.
Well, that's sort of the place.
Yeah.
I mean, and in fact, many enlightened beings have said that enlightenment is actually the experience of continuous orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the sense of a physical, orgasm, but in the sense of a orgasm in consciousness,
like
a just pure merger in the ecstatic abundance of of the universal consciousness.
It's being in that moment of complete ecstasy.
Yes.
Not necessarily physiologically, but I mean, again, the mindset that is going with it, you know. Yeah.
So my teacher, Dr. Pillai, who many of these teachings are sourced from, would say you're meant to fulfill all of your desire, but not in a human way, mm-hmm. in a divine way. And so one of the practices that we'll do in the workshop tomorrow is a meditation using a set of sacred sounds
mm-hmm.
that hold the energy of that pure, innocent
mm-hmm.
desire. They're
mm-hmm.
actually, we'll use many techniques tomorrow that are based on the ancient science of sound
mm-hmm.
and certain
mm-hmm.
vibrations that hold different qualities of consciousness.
Yeah.
And we literally drop them into our body and mind so that they're like seeds.
Yes.
The seed holds, you know, the acorn holds the entire tree within it,
mm-hmm,
but we
mm-hmm.
can't see it yet. Similarly, these sounds
mm-hmm.
are the seeds that hold this quality of experience and consciousness that we can stop into our inner being, and from that empowerment, we can feel the arising of a clarity around our truly unique and authentic desire.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been told that we should all want a mansion or $1 million or a private jet or something.
Right.
But that's not really authentically compelling to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have amazing gifts that are unique that we all came here to express, and we will feel most fulfilled if we tap into those
and
offer those into the world. So that practice is one where we can essentially empower ourselves, mm-hmm. then listen, and we'll be, you know, doing the meditation, then writing down things that come,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
the idea is that after the workshop, you know, people can continue to use the practice in order to get more clarity and more attunement to mm-hmm. the authentic desire.
Yes. Hey, that's awesome. And you talk about, you know, sound, everything in our senses, you know, everything's a vibration. You know, it's all a vibration, and sound is a vibration, and you know, taking that in and focusing on that, you know, is a very powerful tool as well for, you know, the thought manifestations. So I really think that's a wonderful tool.
Sound is actually the, we sort of get there progressively because we start at this level where we look at the world and we just see what's right in front of us.
Mm-hmm,
but the many of the wisdom traditions
mm-hmm.
have identified sound as the fundamental sound vibration,
mm-hmm.
the fundamental, most subtle building block of mind and matter.
Mm.
So the mind, of course, is a set of processes that, you know, are rational analysis mm-hmm. and memory and thought.
Right.
But thought, if you think about it, is actually dependent on language.
Yes.
And language is made up of these units, sentences, phrases, words, letters.
Right.
And ultimately, if you break them down to their very granular level,
mm-hmm.
The sounds in a particular letter are vibrational qualities.
Yes.
So just like matter is made up of increasingly smaller units, like compounds and molecules and atoms and subatomic particles, our mind is made up of these units of sound.
Mm.
And if we take them to the very most subtle level,
mm-hmm.
or simply a vibrational quality, we can essentially drop that vibration into the mind, into the heart, into the body, and it will empower and activate a new set of awarenesses within us. So each of the techniques that we do tomorrow will be using some aspect of a sound and, you know, infusing sound.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the Bible, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and everything emerged from the Word. He said, let there be light, and there was light.
Right.
You know, for the yogis, you know, Patanjali, the great father of yoga, said, what is God? God is Om.
Yes.
Om is the primordial vibration.
Right.
He didn't distinguish God from sound vibration.
Mm. Wow.
Sound vibration permeates the universe. That, what is that? That's God.
Yes.
So he didn't see it as in terms of a religious thing. He said it's a quantum physics thing.
Yes.
God is sound vibration.
Isn't that wonderful? That's so
cool. And in
cool.
order for us to be one with God, to become one with the Father, we simply become one with the sound.
Yes. Yes, we sure do. I totally agree. And, you know, in reading, you know, ancient, you know, wise teachers, it's so true. It is, that is the beginning. That is the sound of God. And by the way, people, if you just tuned in to LA Talk Radio here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest today is Stacy Lawson. And, of course, she has been working for such a long time, 15 years of experience creating, facilitating programs on leadership, social entrepreneurship, organizational effectiveness, and most importantly, what we're talking about today is personal transformation. She has over 10 years of study and practice with Hatha, Kundalini, Siddha, Yoga, and so many, you know, teachings. And you can hear it, you know, you're learning a lot. And by the way, Stacy is also teaching one of the seminars, many of the seminars, but that have been going on. There's one in San Diego that was on May 1st. There's one tomorrow in San Francisco. And all you have to do is go online, and it's free. And you can partake in the power, or harnessing the power, rather, of effortless creation. And that's what it's called. So, all right, let's move along. Stacy, we're talking about, you have a second key. You have different keys in your information here on how to help folks harness the power. So of the effortless creation. And it's to help people dissolve limiting beliefs and patterns. So that seems really difficult in this day and age. So what are some of the techniques that you teach to help people with this?
Well, we talked a little bit about, you know, these things that keep us in bondage, these identities or stories that we have. So there are actually in many of the ancient traditions, a concept around bondage are the captors or jailers that keep us limited.
Right.
And they're related to things like negativity and our existing, our belief patterns that don't empower us, and old old ideas that keep us trapped in a certain mindset.
Yep. Yeah.
And there's also this concept of karma, which we kind of use in a certain way in our modern lexicon.
Right,
it's a little
right.
bit loose. But you know, karma is the concept of the law of cause and effect.
Right.
That essentially the seeds we sow today will reap a certain harvest.
Right.
In the future,
yes,
and that every action leads, you know, second law of thermodynamics.
It's really
every
true.
Action leads to a certain
equal
opposite,
and yeah, exactly reaction.
Equal and opposite reaction.
And you're not talking about past life karma. I mean, I think you're talking about seeing results in this conscious state right now, right?
I mean, if you believe in past lives, it definitely operates. You know, there's a continuity of consciousness, but
yes,
today, what we do today will have an impact on what we experience tomorrow and, and onward from there. So this is, it's sort of like we are sowing seeds always.
Right.
And it's not just in our actions. Thought is considered a subtle action.
Oh, yeah.
When we have a persistent thought,
yes,
a persistent action of the thought keeps us trapped in a certain box, in a certain mindset. We don't see possibilities and potentials that are outside that box because our thinking is so sort of crystallized into a particular structure. And that's the idea of karma, that it's, karma is really just congealed thought forms.
Yes. Yeah.
That continually act.
Right.
And then that that congealed thought form manifests into a certain reality. So if we have a thought form or a belief that we are not good enough or we don't deserve, or that, you know, it just never happens to me that way. You know, whatever.
Just my luck.
That, the karmic cycle of that is that that thought will, that is a seed that will bear fruit in terms of the experience that we have, you know, today, tomorrow, the next day. And karma itself actually creates time.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Because if we are free from that and we planted no seeds, we are ever present in a very fluid, unfixed reality where all things are possible.
Yes.
We're actually at that very subtle level of the quantum state where quantum potential exists, you know, every in the field of infinite possibility. But so, I mean, that's just kind of a description of these ways that our mind and the thoughts that we identify with create these seeds of karma. And that's what, for instance, the Buddha described as the wheel of samsara. Because we're creating this notion of time where we're sort of reaping the harvest, and by every movement we're laying new seeds, it's sort of an unending cycle of being trapped in these, in a pattern or in a particular mode of of experience. So we want to get out of that. And I shouldn't even really say it that way, in that we want to dissolve that, but we also want to do it without creating new resistances and new seeds.
Yes.
A lot of the times where we make the mistake is we see our lives not great.
Right.
We get
right.
so angry and upset or frustrated that, in fact, the resistance from, with what is actually creates new seeds that reinforces the pattern.
Right, right,
so
right.
The idea is for us to move into a bit more of a generative relationship with those old patterns, so to move out of resistance so that we can just see them clearly.
Right.
So the first step is not to react in a way that will create new, but just to like hold it. To see,
yes.
Ah, there's my pattern. Oh, look, I just thought that again. How interesting.
Yes.
But to have a little bit more curiosity, a little bit more spaciousness, but not judge it, just to see it and start to bring some amount of love, almost like a friend. Like if there was a a parent would look at their child who was kind of caught up in a confusion or had a problem that was not quite right, they wouldn't say, "You're so stupid. Why do you do that?"
Right.
They'd say, "Oh, honey, just know you are so loved.
Yes.
You are so accepted.
Yes.
You are so supported." And just the fact of seeing and having that spaciousness and that support, sometimes the thought kind of goes away. So,
the
one part of it is, of course, to just find a more acceptance and more compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we'll be doing is actually again, another meditation and series of chants with different sounds.
Yes.
That are related to vibrations for dissolving these congested energies.
Yes.
And there are sort of some myths that I'll be sharing, because we have these myths in every culture, actually. So you think of it, the fall, when the primordial sin, where Eve gave the forbidden fruit of knowledge to Adam, and he ate it. And we have this thing now, because he stopped it in his throat. It's called the Adam's apple.
Right.
And we have another myth where Lord Shiva is watching the angels and the demons fight over the elixir of immortality, and they're churning the milky ocean, and some poison gets put into there. And so he, out of compassion, goes and drinks the poison, and it stops in his throat.
Mm.
Well, negativity congealed imprints actually stay in the subtle body, largely in the throat or in the brain. So our frontal lobe, which holds all these different like identity patterns and so forth.
Right.
So we'll be doing a meditation to actually loosen the subtle body constriction and karmic impressions within different parts of the body, in the throat and the head and the shoulders, where we hold this weight of time and this never-ending kind of negative impulse that tends to cast us about.
That's
so
cool.
The sounds will help relieve that, and then the meditation will get us more clear and hopefully open us to a place where there's more compassion and a way to hold in a more creative relationship these old thoughts that aren't serving us anymore.
Yes, that's lovely. And, on a physiological sense, they have that whole thing that about negative thoughts and I'm not good enough and I haven't, done enough in the world. So all the negativity, the continuous, again, the brain, like you said, but this is a more concrete, thoughts that fire together, wire together. The more you think the negativity, the more you, consume it, the more you embrace it, the more you, believe it strongly, what you're doing is you're building more, set of neurons and reinforcing and reinforcing. So it's an automatic thought on a physiological level as well, that just comes into your brain. It's almost so automatic, but, this method of just allowing these thoughts and say, isn't that interesting as the observer, that I would go to this place, being aware of them. And it's almost like what I do sometimes is I try to help my clients just kind of almost chuckle at themselves and say, wow, isn't that funny that I go there all the time?
Humor is
isn't
so
that interesting, And let's move along out of that, and let's just focus on the now. Let's focus on not how horrible it is and keep reinforcing that. But let's just let that flow through us and move on to something else. And try to find self-loving thoughts and try to find positive things, that will really make more neurons that are going to help with your enlightenment and feel better and manifest what you want in your life,
And you bring up a great point there about the sort of patterned channels of the mind, the brain, actually the physical brain.
Mm-hmm.
And by repatterning, by actually, bringing that spaciousness and having the experience of, oh, that was just a story too. There's nothing real about these thought forms. They're actually, in many traditions, they actually call them thought forms. They're like entities. They're literally packets of energy.
Yes.
And everyone's, the collective thought forms are in the collective unconscious. So all thoughts are permeating the space at all times.
Yes.
It's only our personal identity that chooses which thoughts to pick up.
Right.
So, for instance, Bill Gates' thoughts are in the ether, and a criminal's thoughts are in the ether.
Yep.
But I pick up spacey thoughts.
Yeah.
Some of them may get close to a Bill Gates thought.
Right.
I very rarely have a criminal thought.
Right. Right.
But we each have our sort of unique things that we identify with, and they're just grabbing a collection of thought forms from the collective consciousness.
Right, right.
We don't need to hold on to those any more than anyone else. And if we free ourselves, we actually have access to unlimited knowledge and intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we essentially sort of blow that box right away.
Yeah.
So, and if we can find the humor
mm-hmm.
and the kind of, you know, the tender sweetness to hold ourselves and
yeah.
like, oh gosh, I'm in a human body.
Right.
I'm limited kind of in this form. My senses trick me into thinking
yes.
that everything's out there.
Yes.
But guess what?
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to find compassion because we got, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it's one of the most difficult lessons, too, I think, is, you know, love that which you are. Love that which you are. You know, become the parent to love the child that you never really maybe possibly received. But just love, you know, yourself. And that's a really good starting place. You know, for a lot of people. We are kind of on a time limit here, but I want to ask you something. If you have one really important message to convey to listeners, what would that be?
Well, I would say effort is human mm-hmm. and effortlessness is divine.
Mm.
And we all are sourced from the divine creative spark.
Mm-hmm.
We have the power of effortless creation within us. And
yes.
that power can be something that both enriches our lives if we learn to tap into it and
mm-hmm.
have the confidence and presence to be in that space of trusting the
mm-hmm.
abundance of the universe, which
yes.
is sourced from within,
mm-hmm.
And that we can become the kingdom. You know, the kingdom of heaven is within, and we can experience that right here and now. We don't have to wait.
Yes.
So I hope that everyone can tune in. I know we only got to a few of the keys, but there'll be more
sure.
tomorrow.
Sure. This is just a little taste so people can say, wow, I want to know more about this. You know, I want to really tune in and find out what's going on. So, how can people, you know, view or attend your free seminar on accessing their authentic desire?
So tomorrow our seminar is from 1 to 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
It's in San Francisco. If you'd like to come, you can go to www.staceytv.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see a live webcast there,
where
you can get more information about how to come join us in San Francisco. And I do want to also add, because most of your listeners are in Los Angeles,
yeah.
that we have two upcoming events
cool.
in Los Angeles.
Great.
One is being taught by my my partner and co-teacher, Jaya.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be doing an event in Los Angeles on the 21st of May.
Great.
At the, I believe it's the Hilton, the Airport Hilton.
Great.
And also, the teacher who is the father of our lineage is coming to Los Angeles on June 12th.
Yes.
And will be teaching a master event called The Keys for Effortless Creation.
Is that Dr. Pillai?
Dr. Pillai,
mm-hmm,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's a world-renowned teacher and spiritual leader and comes from a lineage in southern India. He'll be talking about effortless creation and the means of joyful, how to manifest our desires, how to manifest an effect without a cause. So he'll be going deeper into the subtle mind and really empowering that piece. And those events can be registered for on the Pillai Center site. That's www.pillaicenter.com.
And that's Pillai?
Yes.
Oh, great. All right. And if somebody would like to get in touch with you or comment or have questions for you, what is the best way to do that?
The best way to reach us by email is through Stacey TV.
Great.
And our email address is stacey.tv.radio@gmail.com.
All right.
That's
just lovely. Well, Stacey, thank you so much for being such a great guest today on the show. I really, really appreciate it. Hopefully we gave listeners a taste to help them enlighten themselves a little bit more. It's great to be with you. Again, Stacey Lawson, and of course, she is very spiritually enlightened, doing Harnessing the Power of Effortless Creation. Check it out, staceytv.com, tomorrow, 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time in San Francisco, going until 4:30. You don't have to drive there. You can just log on. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening today. You can stay on the couch if you like. More great shows coming up next on LA Talk Radio. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first. and you'll be great for others. Bye-bye.
Seeing the flashing rays of colored light. Come back here so I can get your name. Oh, I wouldn't know what to say to you just the same. Of sound.